Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. I mentioned this morning that we're going to talk about how to get your prayers answered. You'd think that we'd be packed tonight, and people would want to know how their prayers can be answered. Unfortunately, we don't think about those great sweet hours of prayer. Let's pray. Father, teach us. Help us, Lord, to know your word. Help us to know what it is to pray. And I pray, Lord, that your word would have its way in our lives. May it go forth with the power of the Holy Spirit and rest on hearts that are open and receptive. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to read Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? If he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If then, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? There was in the Daily Bread a while back this story. One little boy was sent to his room because he had been bad. Short time later, he came out and said to his mother, I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer. That's fine, she said. If you ask God to make you good, he will help you. Well, I didn't ask him to help me be good, the boy replied. I asked him to help you to put up with me. Attending church in Kentucky, church watch as a rambunctious child was hurried out, slung under his irate father's arm. No one in the congregation so much as raised an eyebrow. You know, you've seen that happen a bunch of times. But the child happened to catch everyone's attention when, as he was being carried out under his father's arm, he cried out in a charming southern accent, "Y'all pray for me now." Yeah, do you get your prayers answered? When you ask God, does he answer? Well, I want you to know, in the passage I have just read, we are told how to pray in order to have God answer our prayers. He makes it clear, if you pray this way, he will answer your prayers. I can't think of too many more important things in this world than knowing how to pray in order to have God to answer. In fact, I think one of the great problems with churches these days is that they don't pray enough. I think one of the great problems with families today is they don't pray enough together. I think one of the great problems we have individuals is we just don't pray enough. What kind of prayer does God answer? Well, I want to look at three things tonight, and I think we'll see it pretty clearly. Number one, from this passage, we know that we need to be persistent in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. Look at verse 7. There's three statements. Ask, knock, or ask, seek, and knock. Ask means to ask with urgency. You may remember that statement. I did. In fact, I thought about it when I went back and looked over my notes this afternoon. You remember this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I read this verse. I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against someone who suspects us of walking according to the flesh. He said, I beg of you. When I look at it this afternoon, it reminded me because in my notes, I always write down the Greek words. And the exact same Greek word that we find in Matthew 7:7, ask, is the same Greek word we found in 2 Corinthians 10:2, I beg. I beg. The word means to ask with urgency. Means when you go to God that as you ask, you're doing so with urgency. Have you ever noticed that we ask more with urgency when we're in trouble, when we have problems, when we have difficulties? Well, think about your prayer life. Do you pray with urgency every time you pray? The word implies dependence. Ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. Hold your finger here and turn with me to James chapter 4. Let's dig a little further. James chapter 4. Verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. Here's the problem. You do not have because you do not ask. Notice they were looking for something, so what do? They quarrel and they fight. They're looking for something, so they desire and they murder. They're looking for something and they quarrel and they covet. James says you do not have because you do not ask. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. We don't have because we don't ask. It's amazing how many things we need in this life, but we don't ask. Do you know in the Bible there are roughly 650 prayers recorded? 650 times we have people in the Bible praying. We have Jesus, as busy as he was in life, running around healing everybody, doing all kinds of things. It says in Luke that he often withdrew to desolate places to pray. He asked. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. The word seek simply means to look for something in order to find. The word carries the idea of searching until you find it. To attempt to learn something by careful investigation or searching, to desire to have or experience something or to try to obtain something from someone. Seek and ye shall find. In fact, we find this very verse, very statement back in Matthew 6:33. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Seek and you shall find. We must not only ask, but we must seek in order to get our prayers answered. And then Jesus says, knock. Knock and it will be opened to you. The word knock means to strike the door, to knock on the door. Can mean refer to driving nails or just taking your hand and striking it against the door. Means to rap at the door for entrance, and thus applies an even greater or more repetitive intensity than asking or seeking. We not only ask and seek, but we knock and keep on knocking until God answers. Turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 11. We have two parables that talk about this. First one we find in Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. And he said to me, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him, and he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Or can I get up and give you anything? I tell you, though, he will not get up and give you anything because he is his friend. Yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For anyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Skip over with me to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. If this parable, if this story doesn't help us understand what Jesus is saying, I don't know what will. Verse 1. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. So the purpose of this parable is to teach us to pray and never give up. Certain city, there was a judge. Notice his character. He neither feared God nor respected man. Can you imagine going to a judge, doesn't care about God, doesn't care about you? And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give you justice to the elect and cry to him who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give you justice. He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This judge didn't care about God, didn't care about man, and basically what it's saying is, he didn't care about this widow. Could care less about this widow. But because she kept coming and coming and coming and coming, he said to himself, you know, she's going to beat me down, she's going to wear me out. And solely because of that, he gave her justice. Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask, seek, knock, and it will be given to you, you will find, and it will be opened to you. Clearly the thought in these three phrases is that of persistence in prayer. In fact, let me give it to you or dig a little further. In Matthew 7:7, the word ask is in the present tense. Now, in the Greek language, something that's in the present tense means that it is repetitive. The idea is keep on asking, and it will be given to you. The word seek is also in the present tense, so what it's saying is keep on seeking, and you will find. The word knock is also in the present tense, so what it's saying is keep on knocking and it will be open to you. So we can read it this way. Keep on asking and it will be given you. Keep on seeking, you will find. And keep on knocking and it will be open to you, just like that widow. The idea of what Jesus is saying here is persistence. In fact, each of these three words has an ascending degree of intensity. Seeking is a little stronger than asking, and knocking is a little stronger than seeking. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And as you do it, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. One person wrote it this way. Ask implies asking for a conscious need. The word also suggests humility in asking, for it is commonly used of one asking a superior. The next step, seek, involves asking but adds action. The idea is not merely to express one's need, but to get up and look around for help. It involves effort. Knock includes asking plus acting plus persevering, like someone who keeps pounding on a closed door. Jesus is driving his point home, and the point is this. We are to passionately persist in prayer. If it's not so clear here, and if it's not so clear in the two parables we looked at, I want to look at a further example. Turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And I want to begin reading in we'll start in verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. The man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob. He touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So get this picture in your head. Jacob's wrestling with this guy, and this guy can't get away from Jacob. So he touches Jacob's hip, and he puts his hip right out of the socket. But Jacob still is so wrestling with him that the guy can't get away. And so he finally says, "Let me go. We've wrestled all night, basically. It's now day. Let me go." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." And he said to him, verse 27, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life was delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the sinew of the thigh. What's going on here? I think it's pretty obvious that Jacob is wrestling with God. Somehow, and don't ask me to explain it all, but somehow Jacob finds himself in a wrestling match with God. This is probably the pre-incarnate Christ come in human form to meet up with Jacob, and decides that there's going to be a wrestling match with him with pre-incarnate Christ. Now you might ask, is it really possible that Jacob could wrestle with God and God can't away? The answer is no. But the idea is that Jacob wanted so to be blessed by God, and he knew who he was there with, that he was not going to let God go until God blessed him. Is that how you pray? God, this is my need. This is what I ask of you. God, this is what I beg of you. God, this is what I seek for. This is what I'm knocking at the door for. And God, until I know that you've answered my prayer, we're going to wrestle. God, I'm not letting go until you answer, until you bless. That is what Jesus is telling us to do in Matthew 7. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. What is your attitude in prayer? What kind of prayer does he answer? Well, I think here the kind of prayer he answers is the kind of prayer that will not let go until God answers. It's the persistent prayer. Yeah, have you ever prayed? You go to God, you ask him for something. Come back later in the day and you ask him for the same thing again. Come back tomorrow and you ask him for the same thing again. You come back again and again and again. And have you ever just felt like, you know, God's got to be tired of me asking? I want you to know God never gets tired of his children asking him for something. He just never gets tired. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. John 14, verse 13 and 14 says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. 1 John 5:13 and 14. Write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That brings me to the second thing. Know the promise for persistent prayer. Number two, know the promise for persistent prayer. What is the promise? Persistent prayer equals answered prayer. That's the promise. Persistent prayer equals answered prayer. If you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, you will have an open door. God will answer the prayer of his persistent children. It is not that we talk God into something, or that we bring something before God in such a way that God has to answer. It's also not a blanket statement that can be ripped out of the context of all the other statements about prayer in the Bible. For example, the Bible says that when we pray, it has to be according to his will. The Bible says, as I just read, that when we pray, it has to be in Jesus' name. Can't expect to get something from God by being persistent if it's not according to his will and along with all these other issues in the Bible. In fact, Bill Hybels in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray, says this. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right, the timing is right, and you are right, God says go. And I want you to know it's not this request, this promise of answered prayer, is not for everyone in the world. Skip back with me to chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus, in teaching us how to pray, said, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. Jesus, in speaking about prayer there, says, look, if you're going to pray, you have to pray our Father in heaven. Therefore, prayer is for God's children. Not everyone in this world is a child of God, so not everyone in this world is in the context of Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8. Those who keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, that get their asking answered and their seeking found and their knocking open are those who claim to be children of God and whose claim is real. We might also say it's not for those found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Those whom Jesus wrote about, who we might say would be a dog or a pig. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw pearls before pigs. Those who have no desire to live according to God's will and be obedient to God's word cannot expect God to answer their prayers. He may, but there's no promise that he will. And the promise found in Matthew 7, 7 and following is for those who are his children, who desire to be in the center of God's will, for whom God says he will answer their prayer. Now, it's very important we don't stop with that. It is very important that we move on to verse 9 and following. So I want you to notice thirdly tonight that we need to understand your Heavenly Father. Understand your Heavenly Father to whom you are praying. Watch this. Verse 9. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent, that is a snake? What father, if his son asks for bread, is going to give him a stone? And what father, if his son asks for a fish, is going to give him a snake? What father would do that? Now you might say, well, I might know a father like that, and maybe you will, but these are general statements about fatherhood. And what he's saying is, in general, a father is not going to give his son a stone or a serpent if his son comes to him and wants bread or fish. What do we often say about our children? We'd give them anything and everything we could. What do we often say? We would do anything for our children. Well, what does God say about us? Look at verse 11. If you then who are evil. Do you know God calls you as a parent evil? Now, he's not just saying as a parent you're evil, but he's saying as a parent you're evil in relationship to God as a father. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is not evil give good gifts to his children? If you would, turn back with me again to Luke chapter 18. Because the connection between Luke 18 and here is very strong. Luke 18, verse 2, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. But he had this widow who kept coming and coming and coming and coming and basically says, I'm being worn out by her, and though I don't care about God or man, I'm going to give her what she wants. Well, in contrast to that, and in contrast to us as parents, God loves his children. God absolutely, beyond any shadow of a doubt, loves his children. And if we who are evil can give good gifts to our children, how much more God? Now, we talked some about that this morning. I said that one of the things that Satan is trying to do that we saw in 2 Corinthians 10 is that Satan is trying to get us to have a wrong view of who God is. And let me show you the way it props up or pops up in prayer. We say things like this: if I ask God for God's will, God's going to send me somewhere to be a missionary in the jungles of Africa. What are we saying about God? If I ask for something good from God, he's going to give me a snake. What do we say about God in prayer? Well, you know what? I want to learn patience. So we tell people, you know what? I'm going to pray for patience. What do people usually say? Oh, don't do that. If you pray for patience, God's going to give you all kind of trouble so that you will learn patience. What is our view of God when we think that way? Here, Jesus, who knows God best, says, look, if you would do anything for your children and you're evil, how much more God for his? I'd like to change our thinking in relationship to God tonight as it relates to prayer. Turn with me in your Bible to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In James 1, we'll learn what should be our view of God when we pray. James chapter 1 and verse 16. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. Every single one. If you look at your life, and if there's anything in your life that you can define as being good, that came from God. If you can look at your life, and anything in your life you can describe as being perfect, that came from God. Everything you've ever gotten that has been good for you, that came from God. So why do we think when we pray, if we ask for something good, God's not going to give it? In fact, let's take it even a step further. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Jesus said that his Father wants to give us good things when we pray. Our Heavenly Father wants to give us good things when we pray. Look at Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for what? Say it again. Louder. Boy, that's not real convincing. God is working all things together for our good. So if God is working all things together for our good, don't you think that if we ask for something in prayer, he's going to give us something good? In fact, let's take it a step further. Look down with me at verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all good or all things. If God did not spare his own son, how will he not also graciously give us all things? If every good gift and every perfect gift is from God, and God is in our life working all things together for our good, and if God has given us his son, whom he did on the cross, how will he not give us all things for our good? You know, persistent prayer does three things. It reminds us of our need for God. It reminds us of the love of God. And it reminds us of all the good things that come from God. Our need for God, the love of God, and all good things come from God. In other words, when you persistently pray, our focus is on our Heavenly Father. God answers prayer. George Mueller prayed for two friends for many, many years to be saved. Neither one was saved during his lifetime. They were both saved at his funeral. In the early days of Dallas Theological Seminary, there was a critical need for $10,000 for the work to continue going. Harry Ironside, one of the great Bible preachers, got up and prayed like this. Lord, you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of those cattle to help us meet this need. Shortly after the prayer meeting, a check arrived at the school. It was sent days earlier. The man put a simple note with $10,000 that said the money came from the sale of some of his cattle. The minister concluded sermon one Sunday by saying, if there's anyone here who wants help in getting to know God and would like me to pray for you, please raise your hand. A young man stood up and said, please pray for me, sir. The burden of my sin is too heavy to bear. After the service, the minister talked with the man and led him to faith in Jesus. The young man had been wandering around the country for 8 years without contacting his parents, so he decided to write to them and tell them about the change in his life. Several days later, a reply came from his mother. Here's what she wrote. My dear son, you must have accepted Jesus Christ at the same hour your father went home to heaven. He had been sick for a long time, and that day he was very restless. He tossed from side to side on his bed, crying out, Lord, please save my poor wandering boy. I'm sure that one of the reasons you became a Christian was Dad's unceasing intercession. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you asks, if his son asks for bread, we'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to you who ask? Let's stand for a closing word of prayer. Father God, help us to realize that we so often do not have because we haven't asked. Help us, Lord, to know all the truths about prayer, and this one especially, that if we keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, the one to whom we are praying holy, sovereign, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-seeing, the God who is everywhere all at the same time, the God who is gracious and forgiving and loving, the God who is our Heavenly Father. Our Father, help us to know that when we persist in prayer and ask you, who loves us so much, help us to know, Father, you will give us the answer of our prayer because of your great love for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.